said Rincewind. There was the clonk of a heavy branch banging against the windowsill. With a cry of, "Elves!" Swires scuttled across the floor to a mouse hole and vanished. "What shall we do?" said Twoflower. "Panic," said Rincewind, hopefully. He always held that panic was the best means of survival. Back in the olden days, his theory went, people faced with hungry saber-toothed tigers could be divided very simply into those who panicked and those who stood there saying, "What a magnificent brute!" and, "Here, pussy." "There's a cupboard," said Twoflower, pointing to a narrow door that was squeezed between the wall and the chimney breast. They scrambled into sweet, musty darkness. There was the creak of a chocolate floorboard outside. Someone said, "I heard voices." Someone else said, "Yeah, downstairs. I think it's the hoodwinkers."
"I thought you said we'd given them the slip."
"Hey, you two, you can eat this place. Here, look, you can..." "Shut up."
There was a lot more creaking and a muffled scream from downstairs where a venerable seer, creeping carefully through the darkness from the broken window, had trodden on the fingers of a hoodwinker who was hiding under the table. There was the sudden zip and zing of magic.
"Bugger," said a voice outside. "They've got him. Let's go."
There was more creaking and then silence. After a while, Twoflower said,
"Rincewind, I think there's a broomstick in this cupboard."
"Well, what's so unusual about that?"
"This one's got handlebars."
There was a piercing shriek from below. In the darkness, a wizard had tried to open the luggage's lid. A crash from the scullery indicated the sudden arrival of a party of illuminated mages of the Unbroken Circle.
"What do you think they're after?" whispered Twoflower.
"I don't know, but I think it might be a good idea not to find out," said Rincewind thoughtfully.
"You could be right."
Rincewind pushed open the door gingerly. The room was empty. He tiptoed across to the window and looked down into the upturned faces of three brothers of the Order of Midnight.
"That's him!"
He drew back hurriedly and rushed for the stairs. The scene below was indescribable, but since that statement would earn the death penalty in the reign of Olaf Quimby II, the attempt better be made. Firstly, most of the struggling wizards were trying to illuminate the scene by various flames, fireballs, and magical glows, so the overall lighting gave the impression of a disco in a strobe light factory. Each man was trying to find a position from which he could see the rest of the room without being attacked himself, and absolutely everyone was trying to keep out of the way of the luggage, which had two venerable seers pinned in a corner and was snapping its lid at anyone who approached. But one wizard did happen to look up.
"It's him!"
Rincewind jerked back, and something bumped into him. He looked around hurriedly and stared where he saw Twoflower sitting on the broomstick, which was floating in midair.
"The witch must have left it behind," said Twoflower. "A genuine magic broomstick."
Rincewind hesitated. Octarine sparks were spitting off the broomstick's bristles, and he hated heights almost more than anything else. But what he really hated more than anything at all was a dozen very angry and bad-tempered wizards rushing up the stairs towards him, and this was happening. "All right," he said, "but I'll drive." He lashed out with a boot at a wizard who was halfway through a spell of binding and jumped onto the broomstick, which bobbed down the stairwell and then turned upside down so that Rincewind was horribly eye to eye with the Brother of Midnight. He yelped and gave the handlebars a convulsive twist. Several things happened at once. The broomstick shot forward and broke through the wall in a shower of crumbs. The luggage surged forwards and bit the brother in the leg. And with a strange whistling sound, an arrow appeared from nowhere, missed Rincewind by inches, and struck the luggage's lid with a very solid thud. The luggage vanished. In a little village deep in the forest, an ancient shaman threw a few more twigs on his fire and stared through the smoke at his shame-faced apprentice.
"A box with legs on?" he said.
"Yes, master. It just appeared out of the sky and looked at me," said the apprentice.
"It had eyes, then, this box?"
"No,"
began the apprentice, and stopped, puzzled. The old man frowned.
"Many have seen Topaxi, god of the red mushroom, and they earn the name of Shaman," he said. "Some have seen Skelde, spirit of the smoke, and they are called sorcerers. A few have been privileged to see Cheryl, the soul of the forest, and they are known